Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this Tuesday evening. We are in November 2nd, 2021, wrapping up the end of the year, kind of, sort of, so to speak. That was a Christmas hint there. Anyway, thank you for joining us. I hope everyone had a great day, a good day. The blessing of the Lord was with you. His light was shining upon your way and your directions, and you continue in faith and love and mercy this day. I know we had a crazy day, so thankful to be here. Thankful you're here, and let's pray for this evening and kind of jump into what the Lord was speaking to me. So, excuse me. Again, thank you for joining us this Tuesday evening. This is Deborah with you here this evening. So thank you for our callers dialed in and our listeners who are listening online or at a later time. We just bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and pray the joy of the Lord to be your strength, that you would have divine strength and his mercy and his great grace to be upon you. And may he look upon you and with his love and with his compassion, and give way to your prayer and to his promises in your life, in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you for this evening, God. We dedicate this time to you, Lord. May you be exalted and lifted up. God, may you be magnified in your word, in your promises, and in your truth. God, we thank you for your revelation. We thank you for your light. We thank you for truly leading our paths this day, God, in Jesus' name. We pray for our families. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would watch them, cover them by your blood and by your mercy, Lord. I just dedicate, Father God, what is before me, God, and your word and the seed and the promises, God, that and surrender myself as your vessel, Lord, to be used for you and for your glory, God. And Lord, just lead me in every way, Father God, that I would be yours. This evening during this time, and we thank you, and may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, thank you for being here. So this week, the Lord was reminding me of a dream I had, but it kind of put it together in a little bit different way. So anyways, just quickly, this dream was, there was this huge rock. Like I was driving, it was a road, and I was driving down, and there was a bend in the road and or curve in the road. And so this rock was a very large boulder on the left-hand side of the curve. And it was kind of like ominous outside a little bit, like, or at dusk or something of the sorts. And when I was traveling down the road, you know, so naturally the curve was coming. This huge boulder or rock was on the left. I couldn't see what was on the other side of it. But what I seen on the rock was, so there were like trees and whatnot. So it might have been shaded a little bit because of that. So I'm not sure what time of the day it was, but on the rock there was shining this light. This light was coming through on the rock. And so it was drawing my attention to it. And I looked, and the number 7 was on this rock. And so this was all that was on this dream. So when I had this dream, it was actually, I had went to this conference here locally last year about this time. I think it was something significant that happened in my life. I just like, I can't. Anyways, because before I went to this conference, I had a dream, and the conference was only, I think, 2 or 3 nights. And the night before I left, I had a dream. The night to go to the conference, the last night of the conference before I returned home, I also had a dream, and I've never had that happen before. I've had one or the other, or like during that time, the Lord gives me a dream. But so anyways, that was on as I was exiting. So I was thinking about that dream, and I was thinking of, you know, the rock and Jesus Christ and walking on a firm foundation. I was thinking like, Lord, is this what you want me to speak about or not speak about? So it's interesting because when we were coming out of the hardware store, I don't know if it's, no, a home goods, no, not home goods, but one of those like Lowe's or Home Depot kind of stores. on the parking lot, on the way walking to the car, the number 7 was just laying right in front of my feet, which is odd. I was like, what are the odds of this? And it was kind of like when you buy those numbers, they're like you peel them, stick and peel them to put on a sign. They're usually either like black or silver or gold kind of a thing. It was that. And it was just laying on the ground, and it was the number 7. So I just felt really honestly that the Lord was leading me here. So when I looked up the words, like one thing led to another, as those of you that have listened to me before, my curiousness before the Lord and my seeking of what he's saying. So I think it was looking up, yes, it was. It was looking up the number 3, and I was looking at some different things in that. And then I started looking up the word upon the rock, right? And so upon the rock. And 3 verses came up. So in Judges 13, which we'll come back to that, Psalm 42, and then Psalm 27:5. So it only came up those particular words in that particular order, upon the rock. And in Hebrew 3, the number 3, okay, so the Lord gave the law, which is really at that time before grace and before Jesus, you know, the Old Testament was a foreshadow of Jesus coming, okay, so the law was really to help the people walk in an orderly fashion with themselves, with God, and with themselves, and to help lead their family and the generations, and to lead them closer to the Lord, okay. They took it upon themselves and did all these, added all these different rules and different regulations, and then became like hyper vigilant over it, OCD in some ways, right? And then even blinded to it for themselves, but for other people, right? Which we kind of still do sometimes a little bit in that. And so, but he gave the law for a reason and for a purpose that would lead up to even Jesus taking upon the law and showing them that they couldn't do it within and of themselves, that they needed him in a different way, and that they were going to actually behold the Lamb. So there's still some, and we can pray for wonderful Jewish brothers and sisters who yet need to receive Jesus as their Messiah, right? That their eyes would be open, even in their own land, even in Jerusalem, even in those in Tel Aviv, even in those in Galilee who live in those areas, that their eyes would still yet to be opened, okay, to the truth. Okay, because in the Old Testament, they had the law, and then he gave them land. This was very much a blessing to them, for them to give them land. It was super important, super much a blessing there. And then he gave them a calling. Okay, that's what they had. Well, so the land was so that they could occupy, right? That's what we're called to do, even in the grace, dispensation of grace, is to occupy and to you know, if you will, own the land and walk in it and make it ours even as Christians, and to establish things in the land that are Christ-like and for his glory, okay? And so these are important. And then land was important to them as well during that time, because obviously Israel is a desert, and where you ended up was very important. So because you wanted to have obviously a water source, and you wanted to be able to harvest something for your animals, for your flocks, for your, you know, so it was very, very important. Land was very important. But he also called them to occupy, because he gave them a calling as well. So they each had their calling and their placement to bring glory to God, to bring the righteousness of Christ in the land. Okay, that's what they were doing, is bringing glory to God, but bringing the righteousness in the land. Okay, so Deuteronomy, so this is important, because I said that to say this. Because Deuteronomy 32:4 says that this, he is the rock. His work is perfect. I'm going to be pretty much staying in the New King James Version. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteousness and upright is he. So this is who he was as a foreshadow of Christ is unchanging, right, in all of his ways, past, present, and future. He's just unchanging in all of his ways. What he has established, and that is what he has established, okay, that's who their God was, and then that's who Jesus is, too, that falls on Jesus, too, and the church. So what he has established, he builds on that. So that's why the Old Testament is important as well, and how we see things, even in Israel and parts of the Word of God coming forth, like the priestly things right now. So now we take those upon us, right? So there's a lot of parallels there, a lot of foreshadowing again, and a lot of establishment. The things that he literally has established in his Word, he builds on it. So just remember that the things that he's established in you, he will build on that, okay? The things, and there are many things. There's a multitude of things, and I'm certain that that's true for you. Okay, so let me just go to another, because my handwriting is so tiny on my paper. Let me go to just another verse in the Old Testament. And this is part of Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2:2. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. That's 1 Samuel 2. And then 2 Samuel 2, verse 2, which isn't that interesting, 2:2:2. So the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer in whom I trust. Okay, there's the establishment there. So now we are going to go over to, and I want to read this because as John and I were walking this evening, the Lord just started showing me something. But I thought this was interesting. I don't know if you've ever read The Birth of Samson. Okay, I want to read this. And then the Lord, as I was walking, because I read this earlier, the Lord just started giving me parallels to this, to the church. And so that's kind of where I want to stay there. So let me just make sure I got everything's happening like it's supposed to. I haven't lost anything. Okay. So this isn't this far into it, but let me just read this again in the New King James Version. And if you know Judges, right, they just kept circling around. I think it was like 6 times maybe. I might have the number wrong, but they kept circling around where they would sin. God would send someone to rescue them or deliver them, and then they would do that for many years, some years, and then they would fall again, and then God would establish and bring someone else in. Okay, and then, okay, so now this is Judges 13, and this is Samson's turn, okay? And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah and his family, I may not be having these names correctly, and the Danites, whose name was Manoah. Okay, now I've only heard one pastor ever preach on Manoah and his wife, and it was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. He's actually a Messianic Jew. It's incredible, incredible, incredible. Okay, so okay, Manoah, if you are kind of like Noah, but it's Manoah, okay? And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord, angel capitalized, Lord capitalized, appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and do not eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for this child will be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Wouldn't that be cool if the Lord of you, and I've heard some people give, when they give birth to a child like this, so directive and so much guidance in that, okay? So the woman came and told her husband, saying, so the angel of the Lord came to the woman first, okay? And we see this in scripture too, okay? Excuse me. A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. So it's very obvious that it's not personable. Like this man didn't come. It wasn't it was very clear that this was, there was a sense of an anointing on this, right? It was not a personable thing, and he was not pursuing her. He came and gave her, delivered a message, and it was very obvious, okay, and she's declaring it as such. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No drink or wine or similar drink, nor anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again, come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. So he didn't even question his wife. He just understood that this indeed had happened. And he went and prayed directly to the Lord, asking him to send him again and to teach him and what we should do. Okay. He wanted to hear more. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. Well, and that's even teachable, just praying, as a prayer reference, sitting in the field. Okay, so the angel of the Lord came to the woman again, even though the husband prayed, here then the angel came to the woman again, okay, to the wife first, as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So isn't that interesting little thing there? Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband, and she said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah rose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, are you the man who spoke to this woman? He said, I am. A little am. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will the boy's rule of life and his work? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. So Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. So then said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? And when your words come to pass, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took the goat, the young goat with the grain offering, and offered it up upon the rock of the Lord. Okay, this is upon the rock. He offered up his offering upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord. So his eyes weren't completely spiritually opened until after this happened, which is another even fact, even in the church, okay? Remember when, and this one here is likened to the flame, tongues of fire, when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, right? Upon this rock, I shall build my church, right? When he told Peter, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He is building something. And this is a foreshadow and a parallel even to the church. And I don't know that I've heard anyone preach on this like this, but that would be incredible, right? As he did that and the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame on the altar, that, oh. Okay, so then Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these to come. There's three things right there. There's the witness. There's the witness right there. She gave three things out of the witness and the testimony that it be established. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. And Mahanah and Dan between Zora and up. Okay, so then that's when he was born in the Spirit. Okay, so that's how Samson was born, okay? So it starts off, okay, you know, in the New Testament. So here's my parallels. Neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, or neither male nor female, but all are one in Christ. And so this is why he's using both male and female. These are just my parallels the Holy Spirit showed me out of the birth of Samson. And becoming the words upon the rock, okay? And the parallels to the church today, okay? So it's neither Greek nor, and he came to the wife first. She even had more of an understanding and a clarity, and she even spoke it forth in revelation and giving a witness, two or three, you know, words being born there, okay? Samson, again, being born upon the rock. Samson was literally born upon the rock. And in Matthew, again, I said that already in Matthew 16:18, where he said to Peter, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he's giving him great strength. Tongues of fire came, and the power of God, he's given the power of God to Samson, right? And he's given the power of God to us in the flames and the tongues of fire and this dunamis power for receiving Christ, so that we can overcome, right? We know that Samson was born to overcome. That's even the purpose and the will that he has, is to overcome the Philistines in the land, right? And to overtake them. And that was the Lord's purpose and his will for Samson, right? That is his will and his purpose for us, is to occupy in the land. That is part of our calling, to overcome the enemy, overcome these giants, right? So the caution, the same caution that he gave Samson, he gives to us, which is not to entangle yourselves with the things of the world or the culture, the things in this world's culture, not to entangle ourselves with this. Because when we do, if and when we do, right, we have a loss of power, a loss of positioning for Christ, right, and a loss of his promises. You know, it's opposing those things in the world, oppose to the Holy Spirit, and the two cannot work, you know, in tandem. So if it's opposing the Holy Spirit in his work, that's not good. Then it cannot come forth in its full power. So I just want to encourage us, all of us, including myself, to make sure we walk upon the rock, to offer our sacrifices unto the Lord, and to make sure that his intentions and purposes and will for our lives come forth with his power and in his name and established on the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, going back to those things that he has already established in your life and established for you, that that those would come forth. He's going to build on those things. So even if you start your focus there on the things that he's already established in you, he will build on that. So, I did the wrong here. So Matthew 7, if you remember this, I remember this verse, honestly, being like the very first year that I was saved. This one, I don't know, was taught on more than anything that I can remember, but because Matthew 7, 24 and 25, builds on the rock, right? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, right? So this is partly how we build, is that when we hear the words, we're actually doers of the word, right? And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, where it was founded on the rock. So those things are established. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. And Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he had taught with one in authority. Okay, so he's talking about enduring. If we build upon the rock, these are things that are enduring. Okay, that would be the word that we'd take away from there. Okay, so praise the Lord. So the number seven has to do with completeness, good, efficient, active life, wholeness, fullness. Very good. And Samson is actually listed. Samson's name appears in the faith in Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, as some people call it, right? So Hebrews 11, 32, is that right? Yeah, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, however you say that, I'm not saying that right, and also David and Samuel and the prophets. Okay, so he's all clumped together, but his name is definitely mentioned there. And then verse 33, and really here is our takeaway. Hold on a second. Let me see where I am for a second before I go here. Okay. Let me just say one thing as an example. Okay. I just want to say this. The Lord just put this on my heart, is that he showed me something in a church that I had went to. And this is all, so I'm not, these are all facts. And these are very public within the church for anyone who's attended there for any length of time. I definitely was an intercessor there, and I prayed. I prayed for things to stay together. My heart was right before the Lord, although sometimes I would get an attitude, I will say, just to be honest. And the Lord had to adjust some of that. But I will say I was for the people, for God and for the people. So what happened in this church, actually this church was established. When the pastor walked on the land, there was a rock there, and he didn't see it, and he actually literally tripped over the rock, you know, kind of didn't fall, but tripped, stumbled. And the Lord spoke that word to his, spoke the word, upon this rock I will build my church. And that's how he knew that was the land that this church was to be built on, okay? So the church was built on the land. Came about in and through this church where prophetically, man had maybe changed a prophetic word or understanding, and they did something a little bit different as opposed to just taking the prophetic word, how it was given and how it was done, did it more so in man's way. And there was actually a Jewish believer who, very prophetic Jewish believer, who came forth and really was telling the leadership not to do this, not to go man's way, but with man's voice, but to follow God's voice, even if it doesn't make sense. If this was the word that came forth, you don't need to change it because you think it would be better to do it this other way. Like, you need to really seek the Lord. Okay, there was a whatever that, I don't know if you call that a correction, a warning, I don't know, but that was really a hasting. He was giving them haste to go back to the voice of the Lord. Okay. And so, and then what happened, they did end up getting into a little bit of, I don't know if you want to call it merchandising or not, but maybe a little bit caught up into kind of like a marketing type thing, you know. He had written a book, and I think he wanted the book to be like, I don't know if it was that Saddleback Church, the Rick Warren wrote a book, remember? And then then it kind of took off within the Christian community about, I forget what, but it was like a kind of like a discipleship book or a principle that way. And I think that this was partly in this pastor's heart that this would happen with this book that he wrote. And And so some turning there. So I say that to say I see how they had a loss of some power and some things of the world culturally. Let me just say that. So whatever all those were, some things of the world culturally got twisted into their thinking, into their doing. And they were maybe deceived or blinded to it, or maybe it was things that they really wanted, even in their own flesh, that they desired, kind of like Samson did, you know, was deceived subtly. But when we read about it, it's so clear. Okay. And so, because this could happen to all of us, but I've seen this happen at large at this church. And they really kind of lost some of their power and seen some of the things go to the wayside, and they try to have some redemption and repent, and you know, but at this point right now, it is not what it used to be at the very beginning when they first started. I will say that there was a moral fall with the pastor's wife. There was redemption that took place. I mean, at the time, there were probably 2,000 people in that congregation. I would say half of them were faithful to pray and fast. They asked the whole congregation to pray and fast. At least 1,000 people were praying and fasting for their marriage. I was one of them. And their marriage did be restored and redeemed. And then she, sometime after that, ended up getting cancer. And so they've had to step down for some time to kind of take care of that and refocus on life, just in general, if you will. So that's kind of how that story is. And I'm not saying they deserved, you know, certainly didn't deserve any illness, either one of them. You know, I'm not saying she brought it on herself either. I'm just saying the very process of even if that, okay, even if we take the illness out of it and just look at the marriage and the moral failure that happened, that in itself is enough to lose its power and lose integrity and to lose, I mean, there were no young adults and young marriage people really in that church, because they were not, and I'm sorry to say, and I'm saying it very honestly, and trying to be objective without, you know, anything, but it was not a good example for young couples that have respect for them to, that was something that I literally heard from a young couple. It was difficult for them to be there and to sense, you know, to grow and to, you know, and they're just fresh. So right, the older couples, you know, you learn, we all learn through love. So, okay, there's that story. So let me just say, to end with this, Samson is in the, because of his faith, right? So he's listed in Hebrews 11. But here's the charge for all of us, okay? I didn't want that to be too negative, because I feel like it is. So we take that off of us in Jesus' name, because the Lord is, the church is still established. So the gates of hell did not come against that. But they were enduring. They definitely are enduring because of the rock. But I do see some where they lost some power. Okay, so 33. So this is, it says, who through faith, okay, this is what all these people did by faith. This is what you and I will do by faith. And I think it's a word for, I don't say this hour, but like this time that we're in right now, because it's going to take faith for the church to occupy the land, to answer our calling, to go by the grace of God, right? Okay, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong, became diligent in battle, turned to fight the armies of aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again. Wow. Seeing deliverance that they may obtain a better resurrection. Okay, So that's verse 33 and 30 through 35, 33, 34 is where we are now, what we are going to obtain by faith. And so I'm going to seek the Lord on that a little bit more, because when I read that, that just gets me that actually, ironically, or I guess there's no irony with the Lord and no coincidence. But that particular verse, Hebrews 11:33, it's subduing and obtaining and getting victory through faith, was actually something that I wrote in my journal for 2020, and we are in 2021. So I do believe this is for the church. I believe it's for you. I believe it's for me. And I believe we're going to press forward and see the hand of the Lord, but it's going to be by faith, and we need to press into him through our faith, and again, focusing on what he's already established in you, right? Because there's a lot of words that the word rock is used in Scripture, and I've seen rock used for both God, both Jesus, well, it is referred to because that's what he ended up establishing on, but the things that I read in Deuteronomy, his righteousness, his justice, right, all of those came initially from God, and then he even built on Jesus Christ, and he built upon the rock and sent Jesus Christ, and then also the Holy Spirit as well, the Spirit, and 1 Corinthians 10, let me just say, because I feel like someone might not actually say that because I haven't heard anyone really talk about that either. So, because I was a little surprised when I seen it too. First Corinthians 10. Four. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Okay, so that's where the spiritual, the Holy Spirit, that's where I got that from. Okay, so the rock was Christ. So I was only half right. Or maybe not even right at all. Okay, let me just check something here. Okay, oh, I'm sorry. Let me get this caller right here. Oops, I might have missed the call. I don't know if she can call back. Okay, so, okay, that was Anne. But I don't see Anne on the line right now. Let me write that down in case she comes back, then I can pick her up. I see her. Okay. Just wanted to make sure I got what I needed to do there. Okay. And not hang up on anyone. Okay, let me go ahead and open the phone line. So this is 205-531. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hello, this is Julie May from Alabama.
Hey, Julie. How are you?
Just fine.
Well, very good. Thank you so much for joining us. Let us pray for you. Yeah, Father, thank you for Julia May, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God, Lord, in Jesus' name. So see the Lord like filling your cup that you will not quench. You're not quenching the Holy Spirit. And but there's going to be people, I see the Lord filling you up with water, the spiritual water, you know, from the rock, right? It even talks about water from the rock. But people that are thirsty are going to be coming to you, and your vessel, which in, you know, the Old Testament or back in the Ancient of Days, if you will, they have different sizes of vessels. And one would be a vessel that they carried around with them, which is like a cup. And that they would grab refreshing from that when they traveled. And so I see your cup being filled with water from the rock. And again, people are going to thirsty, are going to be coming to you, and that you're going to be able to offer this living water to them. And it's quite precious, you know, because even this is like a, you know, they used to make those little, I don't know if you call them ceramic, but maybe that's what we would call them, or clay. And it doesn't have a handle. You just hold it like a little mug, you know, like a tiny little, and drink from it. So it's very precious because the person is actually very vulnerable when they're drinking this water, is that their hands, it's taking everything they have away from whatever it is they're carrying, or they need to set something down, or, you know, weighted something, that they need to actually take a drink from this container, from this vessel. And so just know when somebody, you know, when we're offering them this living water, that they are actually in a vulnerable place for them to take it, even though it's quite, you know, it can be quite, I don't want to say thrilling, but like when our faith is activated and our faith is motivated and inspired, you know, it charges us up in some way, like it energizes us, I guess is a better word. It energizes us. But remember that the person receiving is in a vulnerable place to give all to receive it. And just to be mindful of that, and certainly through the kindness of the Lord, you know, because sometimes, I mean, I've seen this happen many years ago when we used to witness and stuff. I haven't seen it lately, or known it lately, actually, of late. But it used to be, sometimes we would say things like, and Christian phrases or Christianese, sometimes people call it, and then the other person is not familiar with that or doesn't know it, and it's hard for them to take it in or to receive it in such a way. But just more, you know, really just offering it in such a way, knowing, just going into it, knowing with the understanding when they're receiving this water, they're actually vulnerable to receive it in whatever that place is that they are receiving, you know. So it could be a prodigal. It could be somebody who has never heard of Christ before. It could be someone who just needs that place, that drink, and knows what the well is, but it hasn't been able to tap into it. You know, there should be various ways of why they would need this cup of refreshing. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for Julia May, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for pouring forth water from the rock to her, God, and filling that up, God, that you are her all in all, that you do supply, that you do make provision, Father, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father God, that she would stand upon the rock knowing what you provide for her, Father God. And I know she's asked before for work and a job and finances, Father God, and I pray, Lord, that she would stand upon that rock declaring your provisions to her, Father God, knowing that you call yourself Jehovah, Lord, and that you are her provider. You are her Jehovah Jireh, God. And we thank you, Lord, for every name that you declare and give yourself, Father. We call upon it and we ask it, God, to be true, God, in every way, God, every living form of water that you supply, Father God, of refreshing springs, Lord, artisan springs, Lord, that never run dry, Lord. Keep your provision to her, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I receive it. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. Well, hey, do you have anything specific you would like prayer for?
Prayer for, I just found out one of my church members, she has breast cancer, and so she's going to therapy, and I have a cousin, unfortunately, I found out she had lung cancer, so I'm praying for them and other patients. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay, yeah, let's pray for them. Okay, saints, let's, two women, Father, the two women, right? Yeah, so Father, we thank you, Lord, for these women. We lift them up to you, Father God, and we just curse this cancer over their lives, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word brings forth healing, that you would send your word to heal them. God, keep speaking your word, God, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for just the rivers of life that supply to them, Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Father, for what you've established in them that you would build on, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that you would take sickness and disease by your blood, by your stripes, by your word, by your power, God. And we thank you, Lord. May you receive the glory and the honor for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How are you doing today, this week?
We're doing fine.
We're glad to hear it. That's awesome. Well, do you have any special little nuggets or praises or anything you want to share with the listener?
Oh, just still praise God for, like I said, my cousin that's they got over COVID and other patients, you know, and I'll read about some more, you know, because it's so severe. People need to hear about it because a lot of times you just hear about people dying, and it's good to hear, you know, somebody with COVID. Mm-hmm. That's been so severe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of scary. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like I was here jumping about it, and I see some pictures. I said, thank you, Lord, she done came a mighty long way. And I said, yeah. I said, I thought about she come up Christmas. I said, last Christmas, she was laying up in the bed with all that stuff. And I said, now this Christmas, she moving around, asking for Christmas trees and all that. So thank you, God.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, yeah.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your continued work, God, and praise you, Lord, for going the distance, God, and just being so faithful with your loving kindness and your tender mercies, God, to bring forth and to complete healing. God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, and just come into agreement with Julia May over her family, her friends, and her neighbors, God, who are yet waiting for their healing and restoration, God. And we thank you, Lord, for just reconciling and restoring all things, God, spiritually, body, soul, and spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, well, thank you. Okay, well, God bless you. I guess we're going to move on.
Okay, God bless you too. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely an echo there. Okay, 402-214. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Deborah. Sharon from New York. How are you?
Sharon, how are you? Good. How are you
Good.
Doing?
Good. Listening intently.
Good.
Intently,
well,
I guess.
Glad that you could join us. So praise the Lord. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, let me pray for you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Sharon, Father, in Jesus' name. So I see the Lord going to, light a fire, spark a flame. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, so the Lord is doing something new, like a New Testament thing. So, like, with Abraham, where it says he, changed his name. So when the breath of God came, then it was, the Ruach breath of God, and then his name changed to Abram, or however you say that. So when this, the breath of God and this encounter and change came with him, then he changed his name. I see the fire of God begin to start, begin to take place, and it's going to like reshape your name, if you will, to some degree, but similar, like I'm paralleling it to that. So like this, a type of experience where, but it's the flame of God, it's the fire of God starting, you know, and which I definitely relate again to a New Testament, you know, like tongues of fire and the fire
right.
of God, the flame of God. God is a consuming
right.
fire. Yeah, all of those things, like him doing his work there and beginning that. And but it's also something that is going to be like as this work's done in you, also like I don't want to say shareable, but like where you help light other a flame in other people as well, you know, or being able to offer it. So what's happened to you? Okay, what's happening and what's happened you is going to be able to, as you share it, it's almost like it's lighting a flame in other people. So you know when people walk through certain things and then they share their testimony and they give a word, and because they've overcome something, they
right.
then they gain that authority in that thing when they're speaking on it. It's so real, and the presence of God is there, and you know how they learned it. It's just like wow, you know. And so some people are like a fire hydrant, you know. That's just like they're speaking, and it's like wow, you know, the water. It's like a fire hydrant coming at you. And then other, but yours is going to be like a flame, like you're actually lighting this flame in other people and offering it to them. Like if you offer yourself to God the way that. In the process in which you went through, you know, as you're sharing that and the people realize, hey, if I offer myself to God the way she did, I'm going to catch this flame and something in the New Testament, again, with this flame, tongues of fire, you know, and the flame also has to do with the power of God. And it's going to be like an offering to other people as well, like a little light, a little flame, a little, yeah, like your power source is going to be sparked where other people can grab a hold of that as well. So I thank you, Father, for, you know, I was just saying earlier, the things that he's established in us, that he will build on that. So I thank you, Father God, that upon the rock, Lord, upon the rock, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that she is a living stone, God, and I thank you, Father God, that she will be a New Testament epistle, Father God, where your word says that you write the things on our hearts, God, and it's no longer on stones, but it's written on our hearts that others can see it, and that's inscripted and displayed, Father God, that others might receive it as well. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Lord.
Thank you. I'm just mulling that over. That was very powerful. I'm so literal. Deborah, I wonder, I would have been praying for discernment to do God's will and I'm asking that for my family, my health of my grandchildren and my daughter, if you wouldn't mind praying for them.
Sure. So your children, your grandchildren?
My daughter, yes. My grandchildren, they've been physically sick and spiritually as well.
Okay. Okay. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Sharon's daughter and her grandchildren. Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer and intercede on their behalf, God, and stand in the gap for them, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that Sharon, as she prays for them as well, Father God, that she would never let her weapons down, that she would, you know, pray to you. and also hold up her sword or her arrow or her shield, Father, whatever is needed on behalf of her household and her family, God, her daughter and her grandchildren, Father God, that would remain, that she would remain as a warrior as such, an intercession on their behalf, Father. I pray, Lord, for healing for their bodies, Lord, to be restored and renewed, God, and recovered in the name of Jesus. We thank you they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that their bodies and immune systems, God, would function, God, at a rapid pace, Lord, that you would expedite healing on their behalf in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that you would also reconcile the places spiritually that need to be reconciled, God, according to Colossians 1:20, where your word says that you reconcile all things. So everything, God, all things within their grandchildren, all things within her daughter, and in fact, all things within Sharon, Lord, that you would reconcile those things unto Christ, whether on earth or in heaven, unto the power of the cross and the power of the blood. And we thank you, Lord, that you would bring peace with that, that this would bring peace, Father, according to your word, Lord. And let that be a healing word spiritually and in the natural as well, God, body, soul, and spirit, Father. We thank you for the preservation of faith and this family bloodline in Jesus' name.
Mm. Thank you.
And Lord, I thank you. So I'm seeing a reworking, like a rewiring underground where there's like cable underground, but I'm seeing a reworking like you are, I'm associating it to you because you asked for this prayer, is that now like these cable, these wires are being replaced with like fiber optics, you know? It's just like there was an old way in which uh-huh. things were received, but now a new way is coming forth. And so there's some rewiring that's taking place. So it's underground. This work is being done underground work, and the rewiring is being taken place. So, you know, sometimes that just takes some time before the effects and before you see the results of it and how the efficiency and the productivity and the, you know, all of that. But that's what I seen when I was praying. So praise God for that, that this old wiring is no longer functional and no longer has its place, but this new wiring is coming forth, you know, and it's not going to have to be as complicated, I guess, as like cable would be. Fiber optics isn't as complicated. Like, it doesn't take as many wires. Not every wire needs to be replaced. The other ones just need to be frayed and done away with because they're no longer a resource for the source.
Okay.
Yeah. So praise God for that. That's very cool.
Yes. Yes. He speaks to me literally too, and got issues with literal wiring in the apartment that I'm at. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah, you and it was also with the flame, the tongue of fire.
Yeah.
Deborah, have you had any messages pertaining to the end times about what's going to happen?
I have not pursued the Lord on any of that. But I will say this, that I've always had unction. I've always had unction, even though, okay, so I've been a Christian for 34 years. When I came up, it was certainly the pre-tribulation was something that was talked about in some
right.
churches. I will say that it was not in some of the churches that I attended. It was not talked about a lot. It was like one of those subjects that they just didn't because
right.
it was too controversial.
Me too.
Like, how do you navigate that? What do you do? Okay, and then there was like a turnover that happened, this upheaving in the ground of your eschatology, which is your end times. Like, you're living your faith now based on your view of your eschatology, right? So if you think it's pre-trib, you're saying, like, wake up. Like, these people need to, because you're not occupying the land, so to speak. You know, you're not doing what it takes for the end game, right? So, like, my husband was talking today about a couple of sports teams where they did really remarkable things. One was a baseball thing. They did like a grand slam, but then they ended up losing the game in the long run because they didn't keep at that same efficiency, that same tenacity, if you will, to finish out the game as a winner. Like, we finished to win. Oh yeah, I said that was a really good play. That was like, okay, we're ahead. And they kind of slacked off a little as opposed to just kept pushing through and going through. Well, the same is true, like, if you believe you're really not going to be here anyway. So I remember telling my husband early on, like, I mean, many years ago too, I don't know that I necessarily believe that we're going to be out of here as soon as some people say we are. I just don't, because of other things that I would read in scripture, I'm like, I just don't know. So that's where I've always just kind of been there. I think we're going to experience some of it, you know, like, and I share that with my husband, you know, and,
right.
So anyway, but no other. I don't have any other. I don't. That's it. That's as far as it goes.
Just wondered. Yeah. That's something that was never really talked about in my church either. You know, it just depends if it was in the reading for the day. You know, in the Bible passages that were read at Mass. If it was, then it would be talked about. But there's a lot of people that are. Prophetic, you know, coming forward with a lot of stuff. And so
I will say this though, but I do believe this though, that the rapture and the second coming of Christ are two separate events. And I think that there's scriptures to back that up. So, cause I know that's one thing that's coming on the different things there, but I do now, how soon are they happened? Are they going to happen like almost simultaneously? And again, this has to do with the end time of when. Okay, so but the rapture and the second coming are, and I think scripture gives way to this and evidence in this, that they are two separate events. So I will say that.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't even, I don't believe in a rapture like other people might believe. There's Christians will be taken to places for protection, but I don't believe that people are just going to go up to heaven and not have to live through any of this tribulation stuff. That's my personal belief. But I do believe that there will be, the angels will come and guide people places for refuge before, again, it is separate from when Jesus comes, and I mean, he'll come after the Antichrist is discovered and stuff, but.
So, I'm not sure about all that. I mean, I'm not saying you're, you know, it's just all of that is, I guess it's because it's always been complicated. As far as, and
the
so
man
then
of
there was, and I,
how he's referred to
yeah,
the Bible
I mean, I
or...
did, yeah, I did take a class on it one time, and I was totally tracking the pastor until, and it was so much easier to follow the way he was going, but it went through, like, the book of Revelation, I guess, and we got to, like, Revelation chapter 7 or 9 or something like that, and when he started talking about this one thing, I said, it did not fit and it did not make sense to me, so then I stopped there and I thought, okay, sometimes it just becomes so complicated and I need to know. Okay, and I looked up one time Derek Prince, what was his stance on and he said he would much rather focus on the things that he does know to obey than to try to figure out, you know, so I thought, well, that makes sense, you know, because there's a lot in scripture that we have that we can be doing and that we know we should be doing.
Right.
And we need to obey that, focus and obey that. And then we are going to be covered either way of it if we are already obeying and doing his, being hearers of his word. We're building upon the rock. Yeah.
Well, the only reason that I asked was because what the seers have said is that your angel will come with a flame, a tongue of fire in front of you, and that's, you're to follow that flame. And that's exactly what you said to me when you were praying for me. That's what God showed you, was the flame. And so that's why I was bringing it up, because that was something that has been also been told to people. The angel will bring a tongue of fire literally in front of you, and you have to follow it.
That's interesting.
To protection.
That's interesting. And the wiring, too, that I seen that was being frayed and replaced. So just keep pressing in with your faith, because we do then go back to Hebrews 11 and read, you know, you can read all of it, all of the ones that they talk about of faith and that are mentioned and what they do. And then, you know, on verse 33, just begin to ask the Lord, by faith, how do they do this? And get curious, as I call it, get curious with the Holy Spirit, and what is your role? What is your place? What am I to subdue? How do I subdue this?
Right.
Like, is this my calling, you know, where you have me? Is
right.
this my place? Where am I going to see this victory? Where am I going to, you know, and then places where you know he wants victory, which is in our family because of he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it all started with the family. So again, those are things that have been established, and we can build on those. Those things that we do know, let's build on them and begin to subdue and take territory and land, you know.
Right.
So praise God.
Well, I appreciate your prayers, Debbie, and Deborah, I mean. I don't know if you go by Debbie at all, but.
I do sometimes. My husband calls me both.
Okay. So. Well, I appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers.
Oh, the phone line jumped, and then it did. Okay, so I am on, I'm sorry, 254-541?
That's okay. It's Felicia.
Felicia?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that. I don't even know how that did that. I was clicking off the other one, and then next thing I knew, yours was open, and I said, wait a second, I didn't do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me get rid of this. Okay, Felicia, thank you so much for calling. So, Father, I'm going to mute you for a second just because I do hear a lot of background noise just instead of pressing through. It's one good thing. I had one time a prophetic class that I took, and she taught us, which I'm so grateful she did because it's been so helpful over the years, but she taught us how to press through prophetically when there's a lot of distractions. So, and I remember at the time I was like, oh my gosh, this is so difficult to put, but anyway, I'm glad that she did because it's actually been very helpful, but I did just mute your, okay. So Felicia, we thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for Felicia, Father. I just bring her to your altar. God, I thank you, God. I bring her to your altar of praise, God, and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, praise, thanksgiving, and worship. I'm seeing that, and I'm also seeing, as this happens at the altar of God, like as you, your heart is with praise and thanksgiving and worship at the altar of God. It's actually lighting these torches along the way, along the altar of God. And thank you, Lord. wow, they're like sacrifices. And oh, thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Lord. They are definitely acceptable in His sight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And they're also very preparation for in your heart to receive what He is going to like bestow or revelate into your heart, you know, and yeah, there's an exchange that's going to be happening, and you're not doing it for the exchange. You are doing it with a pure heart and pure hands, and your, again, your praise, your thanksgiving, and your worship are creating these torches of flames at the altar of God. And it's preparing your heart in the midst of that, in all of the midst of it, preparing your heart to just really deposit in part, I'm not sure what the right word is, bring revelation into your heart. And this exchange is going to happen, but there is something there. It's actually preparing your heart to receive what the Lord has for you, an exchange there. So thank you, Father, for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And I've seen like a notebook on your heart. So, yeah, I don't know, like, there might be a lot of information He's going to be bringing you, or if He wants you to capture, but I just see a notebook. Let me just look up, I know what a notebook is, but let me see if there's something in those, 1 second. Yeah, okay, so a small notebook with blank or ruled pages for writing notes in. So, but this word ruled, you know, this is, you know, this, as soon as I seen that word ruled, it brought me back to reading in Judges 13, when Noah, talking about his son, inquired of the angel and was saying, Manoah said, verse 12, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? So there's something there in what he's going to speak to you, R-U-L-E, rule of life and his work. So the Lord deposit or, you know, bring this revelation of really, you know, what he's established you to do in life, or I don't know, just something about that. I don't even want to say it in a, I don't want to say it because I feel like if I say anything more than that, it's going to lessen what it really is. So I would go to that in Judges 13 and read that, maybe try to take that apart to see what the Lord is saying. But when I've seen the word rule, when I looked up notebook, it brought me back directly to back to Judges when Manoah said that for and regarding his son. So there is definitely something there that's parallel. I would get curious, as I say, with the Lord and seek him on that for more, Felicia. But let me see, how much time do I have? Let me see. Let me see if I can just do one more thing here. Oh, this is so wild. Okay, rule of life. And when I hit definition, it just says the rule of life is a commitment to live your life in a particular way. It is meant to be crafted with prayer and discernment and partnership with God. That's the first thing that came up. So anyways, that does explain it in a practical way. So praise God for that. That was very cool, very unique and very cool. So praise God.
Yeah, that really is. It describes me.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, that was very, very neat. So, yeah, thank you. God bless you. Oh, do you have prayer
All right,
or anything specific?
No.
Okay.
I just
okay, well, thank
that.
You
but
for
thank
joining
you so,
us.
And thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Okay, God bless you.
Okay.
Okay. 972-365, good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Deborah, this is Rhonda from Texas. How are you doing?
Oh, hey, Rhonda. Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was trying to get my daughter that lives out of town to get on for prayer, and I don't think she was able to get on or not, but I wanted to get prayer for her. Her name is Ashley.
Ashley?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What's her first three numbers on her phone? Did she call or no?
It's 903. It's 903
okay, no,
something.
I don't
I
see
think
her.
Maybe.
I don't see her.
71.
I
can remember if she had got on or not because she had to go by the grocery store and she said she was going to try to get on.
Okay. Oh, that would have been nice to hear her voice because that would have just been nice.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay. So let me thank you for calling. Good to hear your voice, naturally. Warm
thank
and friendly.
Thank you. Good to hear yours as well.
Saint and spirit. Yeah, thank you. Okay, let's pray for Ashley. Father, we thank you, God, for Ashley, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we lift up Rhonda's daughter to you, God. This is so precious, Father, and such a sweet covering that she has over her daughter, God. We thank you for just that preservation and perseverance, God, and the faith and in the family bloodline, Father. We thank you, God. What a blessing. In Jesus' name. And I thank you. You know, Rhonda, I see you being being able to remove the arrows from your daughter's back that the enemy has thrown at her, and at times she's maybe felt like a real target, like a direct hit. Like why am I? You know, this didn't just happen because I was in the fire or in the faith or whatever, but literally it felt more like a direct personal hit. And I see you being able to remove some of those arrows, but I also see there's places where the arrow tip is in her back. And I see the Lord with his comfort and his anointing being able to soothe that, like with an ointment, and be able to remove those without harm and comfort her at the same time, and that he's going to take care of that. And so we thank you, Father God, for just your work. Lord, it's so divine, Father God, and it's so precious, God, and it's so literally fatherly. It's so fatherly, Lord, and we thank you for it. God, we thank you for the healing. We thank you for the balm. We thank you for the comfort, Lord, and just removing even any remaining sting, any remaining discomfort, God, and that it would be as if it never happened, God, that she would be that restored and that renewed as if it never happened. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I see him taking his hands after he's removed these from her back, and with this oil or ointment just touching, you know, both sides of her cheeks or forehead kind of a thing. And actually, he's actually literally what he's doing in a very precious fatherly way and comforting her, but yet it's anointing her at the same time. And she's so taken in his comfort and his love that is the main, that becomes the main focus. But his intention as well is to anoint her head with oil. And I thank you. I think of Psalm 139 comes to mind, where unity comes, and that she begin to have unity with the Lord's love and his comfort to sustain her as she walks out of this anointing. But that is where her unity is, that she would have unity. But it's first and foremost going to be with the Father, his love, again, with his love, with his care, with his comfort, and even an understanding, because I see them looking eye to eye, right? And there's places in Scripture where he talks about, in the New Testament, I think it's in Mark maybe, where it said, I forget who the man was, but he said he looked at him and he loved him. And so I see such unity like that happening with her again. So she's receiving from him first in this unity, and then she's going to be living out of this unity that she has with him, but also through the anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. And Lord, man, there was just one other little thing there. God, do not let it go to the wayside. I don't know if it's that or if it was something I was going to speak before it's time. I don't know if it was one or the other, Lord, but if it is necessary and appropriate for now, Father, then I ask, Lord, that you bring that to my remembrance. Lord, on Ashley's behalf, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in her life. Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Wow. So her mind, right? So the Spirit of the Lord is that the Father is giving us love, power, and a sound mind. Her mind is going to be in the flow of unity through the anointing as well. Like it's going to be love, power, and a sound mind. And yeah. So we thank you for that outflow. We thank you for the anointing. God, we thank you for drawing those things out of her as a good father does. Lord, your will and your purposes for her life, Father. And I thank you, God, for creating her to stand before you, God. And at the same time, when she spends time with you, she just melts. She melts like butter before you, God, but able to stand with what you bring to her, Lord, and we thank you for it and praise your name. Amen.
Amen. That was powerful. I'm gonna send her the link to the app so she can go back and listen to it, because I know she will enjoy it, and I know she can identify with some of the things that you just said about the arrows and stuff. So definitely gonna send it to her. Because we talk a lot. She works from home, and we talk a lot. Like today, we had a discussion today with a certain scripture, and, you know, I was sharing it and breaking it down with her to help her understand it. So that word was on point. Yeah, it was definitely on point. So I thank God for that. Thank God for it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I kind of got lost in it for a minute there, cause so in a good way. So how old is she is what I want to ask you.
She's 31.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's about how old my girls are too, yeah. Very good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. 31.
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's awesome. Well, thank you for letting me pray for her. Tell her that.
Oh, well, thank
I'm happy
you for
to
praying.
Pray with her.
She's going to call in. She works from home, so in the evening time, she tried to get off and go run errands, and I was telling her, and she was trying to get from the store and get home so she could actually get on, but I think she must have ran into something. So I'm going to send this to her, but I have her to get on next Tuesday so she can get on and, you know, you can hear her voice and really be able to, you know, talk to her and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yes, yeah, well, I appreciate you, Deborah, and it's a blessing to listen to you pray for others always.
Well, thank you. God bless you, too.
Yes, you have a blessed evening. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, we have caller 870-415. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Shavonda from Arkansas.
Shavonda from Arkansas. Okay, have we spoken before?
Yes, ma'am, I believe so.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for joining us. Glad that you're here. Shavonda, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Shavonda, okay. Thank you. Father, we thank you, God, for Shavonda. Father, in Jesus' name, I just lift her up to you, Lord, and bring her to your throne of grace, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, God, in Jesus' name, that we find mercy in our time of need, God. Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray that, God, that she would literally, when your word says to ask and seek, God, that seek and you shall find, God, that she will find mercy in her, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, that even like encounter mercy, which that's incredible. There's like quite a big anointing. It's like the anointing of Christ, his mercy. You know, we talk a lot about his grace and receiving mercy, but not like in depth of and practical mercy. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. So I see you actually like going through mercy like a cloud. You know, like if you've ever flown in an airplane and you go through the cloud, it is, you actually literally can't see. You're just inside of this cloud, but you trust that you're coming out the other side. Because you're totally engulfed in this cloud. I don't know if that's the right word, but so I see mercy, but I see you standing at the throne of God, and then this cloud come over you, but it's a mercy cloud. And I don't know, have I ever heard anyone say a mercy cloud? Mercy cloud. Mercy cloud. So thank you. I mean, there's not turbulence. It's just there's something about him bringing you through this understanding of going through this mercy cloud. I don't even know what that is. I've never heard that, I don't think. But I see it literally as a cloud, and it's totally, and you're circumferenced by it, like it's totally engulfed. I want to say that word for whatever reason, engulfed around you. So, Father, I thank you, God, for covering her with that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let me just see. Oh, that always startles me. The blog talk gives me a message in my ear and startles me. Okay. Let me see. Okay, so mercy, just in a regular definition, says this: compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who is within one's power. Okay, so mercy. Okay, that's just not, it's not, that's not what I'm, oh, okay. At its core, mercy is forgiveness. The Bible speaks of God's love for sinners. This is for all of us. And the Bible also relates mercy to other qualities beyond love and forgiveness. Yeah, that's what I'm kind of seeing. There are other qualities beyond. There's something in this mercy cloud that I don't even, it's beyond forgiveness. It's beyond, like, it's this mercy cloud is beyond just coming into salvation. And a lot of times I think that's what, or at least I have been taught in just receiving forgiveness. But it's beyond that. There's something beyond that. And so the cloud, so, okay. There is, when the cloud would come to the people and the presence of the Lord would come, he was actually bringing them a different, like a different, there's something about this mercy and this cloud. So when it comes, he wants you to follow his understanding of it. And so there's something more in depth to it than I even have, that I can even grip with my own practical or spiritual words even. But it's this mercy cloud, and it's very nice. So when they seen it, right, they were to follow it. Well, this cloud is upon you, and so mercy. And I don't know, maybe you're to carry it. Maybe you are to carry this cloud as that other people would see this presence of mercy, to receive the mercy of God. But there's something in this cloud where he, when you are personally before him, before his throne and his altar, that he is going to bring you into a different depth of understanding in it, because it's completely circumferenced around you. So there is, that's quite fascinating. But I think that you're going to be able to carry this cloud to others as well, in this mercy and how, because when the cloud came to the, you know, to the others in the, you know, when he was leading them in the Old Testament, and when they seen it, they followed it, but he was also leading them to something, okay, to leading them to grow in their knowledge of him, to grow in their trust of him, to grow in their understanding of something. And so while you're in this mercy cloud, there is, again, I know I'm repeating this to see if there's anything more, to grow in the mercy of this. So, and I'm thinking, this is what comes to my mind, is that, you know, we have the Trinity. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we read about them in Scripture, they're never separated one from another. Each of them have three persons in this Trinity, but they're always in unity and in community one with another throughout reading the passages, you know, where it says, let us make man in our image. So it's saying that the other was present, right? When one was present, the other was present, you know, so there's references like that. And I believe you're going to get an understanding of the mercy that was present in each person of the Trinity, with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you, friend, there's some things that I'm saying tonight, I have never, ever heard anyone else say these things. And because something, you know, I'm saying this, like I just said that, in my mind, in my personal mind, my mind says, is that even possible? But at the same time, I'm curious about that too. But it is definitely a word for you. There's something there in that mercy. So I don't know. Let me ask you this, because, let me just pray before I ask you something in the natural. So, Father, we just thank you for Shavonda, Father God. We thank you for completing your work, Lord, for this cloud, God, that she follows by day. God, we thank you for that, God, for the day, Lord. It's the light of God in the day, carrying this cloud, God, and let it be, God, even a reflection, God, when she gets a reflection or a glimmer of this light, Lord, that she would capture its understanding and certainly know that it's you. And Lord, I pray, and however she can remember that, Lord, if that's just a work you etch in her spirit, or she, you know, writes it down, I don't know, God, but I thank you. I thank you for teaching her that, so that she can carry it for others, that she could be that mercy cloud for others as well, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. And I thank you, God, just for unfolding the truth of your mercy that's upon the Father, the truth of your mercy that's beheld in your Son, and the truth of the mercy that is yet given through the Holy Spirit. So, and Lord, I don't even know if that was completely accurate either, Lord, but I just thank you, Lord, for bringing these things into the forefront and into her understanding, blessing her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What did you say?
No, I was just saying I thank God for that revelation, but I would like to actually hear the question first.
Okay, yeah. No, I was going to ask you if you what you do for a living in the natural, because I was wondering if it was something that involves, like, being a display of God's mercy, like a nurse or something in the medical field.
Well, that's just so funny. I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but because of my past legal issues, I'm newly on parole. So I was told I would never be able to go back into the medical as a CNA or anything else. But I got a phone call maybe 3-4 days ago, and they were saying that they're ready to hire me. I just need to get some work experience. So, yeah, that's one thing. But what I've been trying to pursue is a work-from-home job, and it's like every obstacle that I have everything that I need except the DSL connection. I have internet. I just don't have a DSL connection because I live too far out. So now, instead of giving up, it's like, God, do I go ask one of my family members? You know, that's a lot of going in and out of home of somebody else's. You know, it's one thing to be there a certain time, but do I pursue that? So it's like I'm extremely frustrated right now, but I can't give up because I feel safe that I'm not going to, there's no harm coming to me because, I mean, I've shown that I'm progressing. It's just, you know, so right now I'm just trying to, like, what do you even want me to do, God, at this point?
Yeah, that is pretty wild. So, wow.
No,
okay,
I'm
that's great.
Yes, ma'am.
You're what?
I was only laughing because it was just ironic that you said the nursing thing, and it kind of just made me laugh.
Yeah, because I felt like to even ask you, but then I didn't want to, you know, and I was like, well, let me. And I didn't know if that was too much of an answer. I was like, well, let me just pray first. And then, so that is funny. Okay. So there's something related there, though, too. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, just for teaching her these things, Lord. And, Lord, thank you. And, Father, we just pray that you would open doors for her, Father, and favor, God. Your word says that you give us the power to get wealth in our hands, that you place us in our hands, the power to get wealth, God. So we pray a blessing upon her hands, Father God. We pray, Lord, that you would move her by your spirit, that she would see it, Lord, that you would open those doors that it would be according to your mercy on her life, Father God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, let it be evident, Father. And again, God, we pray that you would open the right doors for her, and that you, your word says that you lead us forth in peace, God, so that she would have peace as well going through that, Father God. But we do pray, God, for this financial blessing through work to be with her, God. We just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Well, thank you. I'm so glad you called. God bless you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you. Okay. And good night. Well, thank you, everyone, for calling and joining us this evening. And thank you. I'm tired. You could pray if anyone wants to pray for my mother-in-law had to go to the hospital last night, and so she was like in the temporary place, you know, where they're like you go to ER kind of a thing, like a smaller version of the hospital. And then they admitted her to the hospital today, but they were waiting for a bed to open up for her. And then I think she might be getting there now or being transported over to the hospital this evening to be at the regular main hospital to do more testing. Again, she's, you know, 87. It's incredible that she's lived as long as she has, her very delicate health. But just pray the blessing of the Lord would be with her, that she would have peace. The peace of God would be hers, and just speak shalom to her, shalom to her soul, shalom to her spirit, body, soul, and spirit, shalom to her body. And I mean, that she's ready to go. I mean, you know, she's told all of us, you know, at different times, if I'm ready, you know. And so, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of to pray for her, other than if you pray the Lord's Prayer. A lot of times her and I would just hold hands. I'd just pray the Lord's Prayer because I didn't want to pray anything out of my own soul for her and my own desire or anything like that. And I just pray the Lord's Prayer that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And but I do speak shalom to her and the peace of God that the Holy Spirit brings, and that even amidst her physical body and her soul, her mind, will, and emotions, that the spirit of shalom and peace would supersede and be able to speak and absorb into her spirit. We bless her spirit in Jesus' name, that her spirit is able to receive the anointing of God, that her angels would be present with her at her time to carry her safely and to the presence of eternal glory, unfolding in her life more and more. And the Lord would prepare all of us for his sovereignty and his time. And Father, I just ask that you cover her and bless her, God. Please, Lord, the peace and the shalom of God upon her. In Jesus' name. Good night, everyone, and shalom to you and your homes as well. God bless. See you next time.